Welcome to Kylie Says It's About to Get Real. I chose the name of this podcast after most of my friends would say, shit Kylie says, after I'd share a deep thought or perspective on something that always ended in more conversations. I started this podcast out of a period of spiritual curiosity that caused me to do deep dives into manifestation, meditation, and mindset and perception work that had me exploring things like angel numbers, life path numbers, human design, mediumship, Akashic records researching, and more, all while overcoming a traumatic eating disorder and trying to thrive as a postpartum mom of two while building my corporate career. This show is a mix of guest interviews and my take on life, love, friendship, and all of the topics that I find interesting. Here, we talk to experts, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. If you're looking for a show to get you out of your rut, you found it. Welcome to Kylie Says. I'm your host, Kylie, and I promise to entertain you, give it to you straight, be real with you, and have some fun along the way. Welcome back to the show. Happy 2026. Happy New Year, everybody. I am so excited that you're here, first of all. And today we're going to do a bit of a story time because I think it's important. I hope everyone had a restful holiday. Over here, I pretty much checked out. I didn't work for about 2 weeks. I tried to stay off of social media. I did play some like games on my phone and I read my Kindle app, but I really tried to stay off of apps other than maybe like a Pinterest to look up a recipe or something like that. But otherwise, I really tried to disconnect and it truly helped my mental health a lot. So I'm very proud of myself for that. I also just spent time doing some of the things I really wanted to do, like sleeping in until my kids woke me up. That I did almost every single day. And I loved it. It was so great to just feel peace and not to feel anxiety about what time I needed to wake up and how many things I had to do before I got out the door and how immediately you feel behind because there's so much to do in the morning to get everyone else ready that you don't really have this time to focus on doing anything for yourself. And I think I actually really liked that I felt like I had a little bit more time to do some things that were for me, for the nourishment that I needed over this break to make it feel restful for myself and to really and truly help me just focus on what I needed to get myself back into mental clarity to come into the new year. And one of the things, let's start our story. One of the things that I had been working on for the end of the year was really being able to feel proud of myself as I moved into this new space of the new year. And as we know, 2025 was the year of the snake. It is the year of shedding. It is the year of letting go of expectations, etc. And it lasts technically until around February 17th. So that means that the new year officially kicks off around mid-February. And I think that's helpful to know and understand if you're following nature and nature's path when it comes to the new year, the rebirth, because January, I feel like, often feels like a bit of a heavier month for everyone. You're kind of getting back into the swing of things. You feel a little bit unsure. Oh my gosh, do I still know how to do my job? It's been so long. Or, oh man, I took no time off. I'm going to need a vacation at the end of this month. This feels like the longest month of the entire year, every single year. There are so many weeks. It feels like it goes on forever. I wanted to go into that period feeling good about myself, feeling proud. I've gone into past years feeling like, oh my gosh, I completely let go of every bit of a schedule that I had. I let myself down. I said I was going to do all of these things over the break that I never did. I didn't hold myself accountable. I didn't show up for myself. I had no discipline. I spent recklessly. I drank too much, etc. I really don't feel like I did that this time, and I am the most proud of myself for this time that I have been in pretty much every other New Year's. We did a super common, cozy New Year's. We did pizza and PJs. I kind of feel like a bad hostess because I feel like no one ate any of our food because I made it before some of the people came and then kind of presented it like, oh, here. And then I think no one wanted to be the first to eat. So sorry that you all left starving. But we just had two families over with their kids. I got a bunch of glow-in-the-dark things. We had disco balls hanging from our pendant lights. We had like glow-in-the-dark little stretchy things and glasses and rings and clips. The kids were just running amok. And if you don't think of hocus pocus when you hear the word amok, then I don't know if we are truly as connected as I think we are. So anyway, that was what I was really working on coming into the end of the year. The first book that I finished this year was The Let Them Theory, and I had started it admittedly in 2025, so technically it should be a 2025 win because I was about 88% of the way through before the end of the year, but I just couldn't make it. So I finished that book as the very first thing that I did and read this year, and then I started something that I thought was about something else and realized as I was reading it, oh, I remember this review. And I'm actually happy that I picked this one up. And the book that I picked up for my second book of the year is called The Alchemist. And it has left me so creative. And I just absolutely love the world that it takes you to as soon as you immerse yourself in the words and in the pages. I say pages lightly and like a little hesitantly only because I don't read actual books. Usually I'm reading them on my Kindle app because I can take my phone with me to many more places. I always have it on me so I can kind of read it if I'm waiting in a long line somewhere, etc. And that's frankly how I get through so many books throughout the year, is I kind of take them with me in my day-to-day. But this one is absolutely incredible so far. I think I'm only, actually, I don't know how far I am through it. I think like 20%, maybe less. But it is just captivating. And it was written many, many years ago. And by many, I mean like maybe 30, potentially more. But it's not one that I don't recall hearing of it before until I was looking through someone else's page who was doing a recap of some of their favorite books of the year. And I may actually start doing that too, because I just love books so much and I read so many throughout the year. I think 2 years ago, technically, because 2025, I only did 18, but 2 years ago, I read like 30 and 31 back-to-back years. And so those were good reading years. But yesterday, there was a part of the book where someone in the book says, people need not fear the unknown if they are capable of achieving what they need and want. I'm going to repeat that. People need not fear the unknown if they are capable of achieving what they need and want. I honestly didn't do the best job of repeating that either time, but thanks for listening twice to a bad reenactment. But what does it mean? Okay, so the first thing that I did was go to ChatGPT because I was like, wait, what does this actually mean? Like, I feel like this is a profound moment and I don't want to miss it, but I also am a little bit unsure of exactly what I just read, but it's standing out to me in like big bold highlight that I need to highlight it, copy and paste it into ChatGPT and figure out like, what is this actually trying to tell me in simple layman terms? And ChatGPT responded by saying that this phrase means if you have the ability, confidence, and resourcefulness to get what you need or want in life, then you don't have to be afraid of the unknown, new situations, challenges, or uncertainties, because you trust yourself to handle whatever comes your way. So in simpler terms, you don't have to fear what you don't know if you trust that you can create or find what you need. It's really about self-trust and capability replacing your fear of uncertainty. Would you like me to break it down in a more philosophical sense or in a practical life lesson way? I said practical. And also, that is such a fantastic definition for exactly what I was trying to bring into my life at the end of 2025. More self-trust by proving that I could actually do something and seeing something through, proving to myself that I have everything that I need to accomplish these goals and I need to stop making excuses for myself. And then the fear of uncertainty. I have a fear of going to the gym every single time I go to the gym. I don't know why. I just do. I get afraid of like, am I meant to be here? Am I going to look silly being here? You know, whatever the case may be. Am I going to have to wait for these machines? Am I going to look XYZ? But lately I feel so good when I leave the gym that I genuinely am like, you know what? F it. I can't go and live by those feelings anymore. And that's sort of similar to how this podcast is. I think I get into this space of self-doubt and then I'm afraid to get on the mic for some reason because I'm afraid of what do I even have to say? Is it going to matter? But it does matter. And you're here and that's why it matters. Okay. So I said I wanted it in practical terms. People need not fear the unknown if they are capable of achieving what they need and want. That was the best one. So practically speaking, it means if you believe in your ability to figure things out, you don't have to be afraid of what's coming next. I asked for some examples. I wanted an example. Tell me what that actually means. If you lose your job, you know you're skilled and capable, so you don't panic. You just trust that you will find another way to earn money and you will get another job. Another example is if you're starting something new, like moving, parenting, or launching a project, you may not know every answer, but you trust yourself to learn, adjust, and make it work. So the underlying message here is that when confidence grows, fear fades. Or fear fades when confidence grows. So instead of trying to control every unknown, focus on building your skills, mindset, and problem-solving ability, because then you can handle whatever life throws at you. So that, to me, was just honestly profound. I mean, how have you literally ever noticed how much energy we waste fearing what might happen? Like if you lose a job, if you become rejected, or if you fail at starting something new, even though up to this point you've survived every single unknown that has come to you. Which is why I thought that this was absolutely incredible timing, truly divine timing, to think about why I don't need to fear the unknown, as long as I trust enough in myself that I will have the ability to figure things out. So I think one of the main things that stood out to me when I was reading through this message, it just like hit me like a brick over the head, is that one of the things that I've consistently been putting on vision boards, been writing in my journals at the beginning of the year, have been writing on every sort of one of these like personality quizzes or whatever, or anything really that's meant to be looking into the future, like what is my purpose, what am I here to do, etc. What is one of the things that I want to let go of? Mine has consistently been this fear of showing up, this fear of doing something that I have never done before, this fear of trying to be something that maybe I'm not, or that maybe I am and I need to just stop questioning. And so to have me pick up this book as the first book of the new year, again, The Alchemist, it's absolutely incredible. I highly recommend. Then I get kind of caught for some reason over this quote that I read in the book. And then it all comes to mean that I don't need to be afraid of the unknown, or the fear rather of the unknown, because what you primarily need is enough trust in yourself to know that the unknown can come, and it can be A, B, or C, but worrying about it is going to take you nowhere. But trusting that whenever one of those situations arises can be handled because you have the skills is hugely important. I think I was almost talking about this with my psychiatrist last year. Just this idea that the more that you trust yourself, the less you do have to fear. Because at the end of the day, the anti-anxiety medication, the drugs, the whatever you're using to kind of cloak your actual feelings will only get you so far. But at the end of the day, you need to have enough of those skills and tools to be able to handle any situation or scenario that comes at you, and trust that regardless of any of those things, you are capable of doing that. And one of those things for me is, okay, I feel like maybe I need to move. I feel like I meant to try something else out. I feel like maybe I'm coming into this period of uncertainty. I don't know if this is a midlife crisis sort of thing, but I'm feeling like, do I want to focus primarily on motherhood and take more of a creative risk in my career, or pause my corporate career? I don't know why, but that's the way I'm absolutely being pulled, when previously I wasn't being pulled that way, but I do have a very strong pull to that. And I'm sort of needing to start looking my fears in the face and saying, okay, if this is what I'm being pulled towards and this is what's speaking to me right now, do I listen to it? And if so, how much? And if I'm going to listen to it and I want to slowly start taking steps towards that world, then what will my new world look like? And how could I possibly get comfortable in that new world if I don't have some sort of a routine? So I did spend a number of days over the holiday break trying to focus on what might that new routine be if I were to step into that person that I feel I'm being the most pulled to be. And this all took me back to a conversation that I had with my psychiatrist around control. Because what I'm realizing through those conversations and this text from this book is that we fear the unknown because we want control. And that was the main thing that I was feeling I was lacking around Thanksgiving this year, when we had a situation arise that like threw me for a total loop. And then everything else about my life sort of started to feel like it was spiraling out of control. Oh my gosh, do I have control over this job? Oh my gosh, do I have control over my kids? Do I have control over how they do this, this, and this? Do I have control over their school, over their aftercare, over all of these things? I started to feel overwhelmed with. And that's because, to a degree, control is an illusion. But I was fearing all of these situations because I was what my sister calls time traveling to a period of situation A, which gave me massive anxiety, versus situation B, which was what I was hoping the outcome would be. And then I was holding all of this weight over each scenario and trying to feel, truly feeling into each one of those scenarios so that if the time arose that I needed to deal with it, I would be capable. But it caused me so much unnecessary anxiety and fear, like true fear. I could feel my cortisol just all throughout the day coursing through my body. And so this just made me really start getting scared, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but it all took me back to this idea of the main things that we're all dealing with today are this out of control feeling, because we feel like there is a lack of control around us politically, etc. And there's this fear of what's going to happen. We're in a crazy place in our world. Is my, you know, AI is taking over everything? Is my career safe? I want to be the best parent I possibly can. How do I know that I'm doing that? How do I know that I'm taking the right steps, etc.? But it keeps me coming back to this idea that the more that you invest in yourself in the right ways, with more skills and emotional tools, emotional intelligence and support systems as well, that gives you more of a capability. So the more you invest in yourself in those areas, in therapy, in maybe like me, I do a massage 1 month and a facial the next month. So I switch off that self-care that I am prioritizing and pre-paying for so that I'm showing up for those appointments. I consistently am getting my nails done. That's because for me, it makes me feel better. I don't like my hands particularly, and I don't know how to take care of my nails myself, so that is a small thing that I do for myself. And one of the things that I've been thinking about recently at night when I've been trying to go to bed is I am an occasional, like I said, a time traveler. That is that terminology I'm stealing from my sister. So at night, I'll start thinking through all of these potential scenarios that could or could not happen and what I will do in those scenarios. And I truly, like in my head, I'm an empathetic person, and so I can easily feel into a situation and see all sides. And when I'm daydreaming, that's sort of what I'm doing sometimes, but I'm really like feeling into what that emotion might be. And usually it's something negative. And lately I've been catching myself and feeling like, why am I focusing all of my energy right before I go to bed on all of these terrible, scary thoughts? And it's what my psychiatrist calls anticipatory anxiety, meaning I am anticipating a situation that is ultimately causing me massive anxiety instead of just focusing more directly on the present, which is where I will have a much easier time being more mindful and being less anxious. And no, that doesn't mean like tap your fingers 5 times. We're not talking like that level of out of control or lack of control or this need to like reground. It's more of just a retuning and a quick like ink. Okay, let me turn the lever to the left versus think like a hot and cold on your bathtub or on your faucet. I've been leaning really cold. Like, oh my gosh, those are scary thoughts. And I want to lean warm. I want happier. I want to feel better thoughts. So I just quickly notice I'm at the far left. I'm leaning cold and I slowly move myself back to the right side. And instead of thinking about what are all the things that go wrong, I'm starting to think about what are all of the things that could go right. And I'm starting to use the things and the tools that I have collected for myself, even the words or the images, the statements that I put on my own vision board, that I put on my current phone lock screen. All of those things I'm thinking through in my head at night. I'm shaping stories around those ideas. I'm shaping stories around those sorts of themes. I'm trying to think of situations that will put me in that life, that will put me in that place. And one of the things that I did first was I downloaded this free guide about how to set an intention for yourself for 2026 when it comes to your budgets, when it comes to realistic or huge, lofty financial goals. And it's basically just a look at how are you thinking about finances this year? What are the things that you want to accomplish? I have never taken time in the beginning of the year to focus on anything financial other than trying to pull in like or call in millions and millions of dollars to my name. But I have never focused on actually becoming more financially literate. Last year, that was a 2025 goal I said that I would do, and I did zero towards it. And this year, it's actually something I am hungry to do more of. I want to figure out where do I want to invest money? How do I want to build generational wealth? All of those sorts of things. But I went through like a 6-page journaling exercise to set some intentions for myself. And one of those intentions was around doing micro things. And this is also something that was talked about today in my Pilates class, was this idea that our instructor had been saying that she was watching this documentary on Michael Phelps. And one of the things that he said about his training going into the Olympics was that they started with all of these micro goals, or they were working towards micro wins. Because when you just think about the lofty end goal, it feels very, very far away. And so in order to break that down into more tangible wins that feel more accomplishable, you break them through small micro wins, and you set each one up intentionally so that you have an opportunity to actually reach it, and then you can consistently push yourself as you reach those goals. So it's not to say that you're slowing yourself down, but it's actually to give yourself more motivation to continue, because you are showing that you can build confidence in yourself through small wins, and it gives you this capability mindset. Oh, I have the capability to do something hard. Oh, I have the capability to reach a new goal. And so that was one of the things that I did for myself when I was going through this financial, like, I kind of want to call it financial literacy. I don't know what to call it. I think it's like a financial goal guide. It's this PDF, and it asks you all of these questions, and it makes you set these 3 goals. I set goals that felt realistic while also feeling like a little bit of a stretch. And I think that's intentional. And then it asks you, what is take your first goal, your most important goal for the year, and break it down into meaningful steps, whether that be months, whether it be quarters, etc. So then I took that opportunity and I built something out by month, saying what I had a goal to accomplish. Then it opened my eyes that, oh, in order for me to do that, then that opens up more opportunity for my second goal. And then I tied the two together, saying when one is accomplished, two becomes easier to achieve. And then that got me into my third goal, which is the more that I pay attention, the more financially literate I become, and the more financially literate I am willing to be, because I'm giving myself the small wins to kind of collect so that I am learning and building on skills that I know I wanted to do, but also shows me that, okay, this is uncertain, you know, uncharted territory for me, but hey, I can handle it. I can do this because I've been building on that capability. I've been investing in myself literally and figuratively, and it gives you an opportunity to jump into something that feels more uncertain. Now, why did I go through that particular story? Well, because I think one of the things that we fear the most today is this idea of uncertainty. And at the end of the year, I always start reflecting on, like, what is my purpose? What is my goal in life? And this entire book that I'm reading right now is talking all about the personal legend that each of us are here to accomplish, and how when you follow the omens that are presented in front of you, that are in this book, they're presented as 2 stones, Umim and Thummim, Umim and Thummim. Won't edit that out. And one is black and one is white. And one is meant to signal yes, and one is meant to signal no. And the purpose of these stones is that when you're feeling uncertain of whatever the answer in front of you is, that you can use those stones, ask them a question from the soul, and it will help present an answer to you based on whichever one you pull out and the intention that you set forward to answer that question. And that just made me think that in my own personal life, I rely a lot on external signals. Oh, if this person invites me, then I will go. If this person doesn't invite me, then I'm not coming because they don't want me there. So I'm putting a lot of power in external forces instead of trusting in myself. And the main character of the book was starting to feel that he didn't want to become dependent on these 2 stones to determine the outcome of his life, where he would unintentionally miss the omens that were presented to him. And so he started to completely stop using the stones, so that when he was making a decision, he knew that it was an omen that he had self and pretty much clocked and said, like, okay, this is an omen for me. I've got to make a decision accordingly. And then this other situation happens where basically the bag that he had been storing the stones in his pocket had a hole in it. So little did he know that during the period when he gave up the stones to be able to trust his own confidence and ability and resourcefulness to make decisions on his own and challenge, go into new challenges and uncertainties, was because he trusted himself to handle whatever came his way. And so he realized, oh my gosh, had I known I could have lost these stones, and if I was dependent on them, then I could never have made another decision. So he kind of put them back in his pocket in the thing, and then I'm pretty sure that they stay in his pocket or whatever. But it's just another indication of, okay, you can have all of these tools at your disposal, but if you lose your own ability to make decisions and trust that you have what it takes to create or find what you need, and that you can trust in yourself to make decisions, you don't need to panic. Those are the skills that are going to be necessary for getting you to wherever you need to be. And so it was a little bit of a reminder and a little bit of a light bulb to me that all of the things that I was initially fearing feel a lot more achievable when I'm going to put them for the year at least. I'm going to start talking about things in micro goals. And so that's something that I think is also going to potentially be really helpful for you, is if you are feeling like you have big aspirations, it's going to be a big year ahead for you, then focus on some more of those micro goals. If you have this need for control and you want to control everything, then control your ability to hit a goal in 1 week. Let's say it's walk 10,000 steps. Let's say it's go to the gym every single day and steps don't matter. Let's say it's a certain amount of water. Or let's just say that it's get off your computer at a decent time. Whatever your goal is, set a weekly goal so that you have an opportunity to continuously achieve goal after goal. Imagine if you tracked all of your goals for one entire year, week by week, and then at the end of the year, you were able to say, oh my gosh, look at all of the goals that I accomplished this entire year just by going week by week. That would be an incredible thing to look back on. I am going to 100% do that this year. So if there's anything to take away from this, it's one, you have to read The Alchemist because it is absolutely fantastic. And again, I'm only 20% of the way through, but I do not talk about books often, and this one is so far amazing. Two, have trust in yourself. The reason why you'll want to reach towards those micro goals is because you'll want to give yourself an ability to build confidence through super small wins so that you can reflect on the resilience that you have and remember that you can handle things that feel hard or uncertain. Then you can start shifting your question from what if this goes wrong to what if you can handle it? What if you can do it? And then you'll feel more inclined to invest in yourself, show up for yourself, to build confidence through those small wins. Because you'll have the skills, the emotional tools, and the support system. And that will equal capability. All of those things, you can do small, hard things, do those micro opportunities. Then you can reflect on the resilience that you've had in reaching those goals each week. You can start shifting your mindset from what if it goes wrong to what if I can handle it. And you will have the ability to then invest in yourself more skills, emotional tools, and support systems to increase your capability mindset. I hope that that gave you something inspiring to think about as you go into the rest of this year, and happy longest month ever. One small PSA is that we're going to start releasing episodes on Wednesdays this year. I just find that Tuesdays always feel really hard, and I've thought about moving it to Wednesday for a long time, and I consistently am just struggling through it. So instead of struggling through it anymore, we're just not gonna struggle through it, and we're gonna move it to the next day. So now we will be coming out on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. PT. Thank you so much for being here. Happy New Year. Happy, 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 happy. Four times in a row. Happy New Year. Can't wait for what's ahead.